Hey everybody, welcome back to Homeschool episode 54 of the podcast, where me and Andrew Rivers tell some monologue jokes where our guest comedian laughs or ignores us or leaves the Zoom, and then we BS about life and comedy and what's going on in the world, but mostly comedy and what's going on in the world because we don't have lives. This week we have the phenomenal Andrew Slater. Live from Palm Springs, it looks like maybe.
No, I was trying to impress you guys. This isn't really my house. Oh,
Ah,
I
well, I
wanted you
know
to think
you.
I was cool.
Don't you own one in Palm Springs, though? That's
Yeah,
a
we do.
thing.
We have a well, it's like a va I never get to use it, but it's like a vacation rental. So
Are there any
That's awesome.
comedy things in Palm Springs that happen?
Yeah, you know, there is a couple. I when I worked at in Phoenix, this guy opener told me that there is a couple rooms, but nothing that I've ever heard of that was too successful. There was the Palm Springs Comedy Festival,
There was, yeah.
but I don't know what happened with that or if it still continues or what. But just go. You can just go to Palm Springs and relax. It's better. You don't
Yeah.
need to go there to work, you know.
And contact Andrew for where to stay.
Yeah,
You
please.
whether it's a real like a lot of old folks and a lot of gay folks, right? Am I on something
That
there?
was it. That used
Yeah.
that was like the Palm Springs formula, like, because in like the 60s or whatever, it was cool movie stars, right?
Right.
Then all those cool movie stars just got old,
Yeah.
and it was like old people and gay people.
Yeah.
And then now though, it's become like this sort of, it's like on the par with like Austin, or it's like
Ah, yeah.
bachelorette party. I think that put it
Yes.
on, and then it had this like old Hollywood Renaissance LA thing. So
Ace
now there's like a lot
Hotel.
of the Standard. I think when the Standard opened there, it was like that kind of brought all the cool LA people back too. So there's like, and Coachella. I think Coachella had a lot to do with it. So there's like this kind of three-headed, now it's like there's like terminally cool places too.
Oh, yeah, you could probably jack up the price when Coachella comes back,
Yeah. Oh
huh?
yeah.
All
Jack
right.
up the prices when
Love
Coachella happens. But our place is mostly old and gay, so don't worry. It's not too
it.
bad.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, where are you going to be doing stand-up comedy here soon?
Oh, you can Chinook Winds, baby.
Oh,
This
what dates?
weekend, Lincoln
Oh.
City, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Get some fudge and a carving of some sort on the old Oregon coast. And then, but the one I really want people to know about, there's stuff in between. You can go to my website, andrewcomedy.com, but I'm recording an album in October, October 16th at the Alberta Street Pub. There's tickets are not up yet, but I'm going to be doing a ton of promotion for it. So if you live in Portland, you want to support, that is the best way you can help me out. Just go to that.
All right, that's great. Awesome. Andrew, you got anything coming up that we should know about?
I'm on tour with Steve for the next month, so just look at his thing. But
Yeah, Steve Hofstetter
Ventura
goes.
Harbor Comedy Club, September 30th through October 2nd, and then Laugh Camp in St. Paul, Minnesota, October 22 and 23.
Oh, nice.
Does
Yeah,
anyone dare heckle Steve anymore? Are they have they been scared
I.
off?
They do a little bit, but not. His act is like super. It's about like his dead dad and stuff, so it's not. There's not a lot of opportunity. Like his old act used to be like,
About
if
his
you're a
alive
parent,
dad.
you're a shitty person and no one cares about you. And that would get drunk moms to be like, fuck you.
Oh,
But
okay.
now it's like, hey, this is the last time I talked to my dad and this is special and blah, blah. And so there's not a lot of like provocative material necessarily. So
I
it
see what
still
you. So
happens, but
people,
very rarely.
you'd have to be a special kind of dick to heckle a guy
We
during his.
thought like the first tour back, it took like 2 weeks for the first actual like real interruption, and we were like, maybe this is not gonna happen anymore. What's Steve gonna
Bad.
do, you know?
This is
But
bad for business.
yeah, but he does a Q&A at the end of every show now, so that gets,
Oh,
you
there you
know,
go.
that gets plenty of content. He's got the machine turning.
Yeah, and he's got huge following now, which is makes a difference, I suppose. I guess I was like, "What do you have any thoughts on how I could something get a venue in whatever city?" And he goes, "Have viral videos." I was like, "All right, that's a good advice."
It's so funny, like, to reverse engineer a career,
Yeah,
you know, because you get
yeah.
so in the weeds of like algorithms and videos and like statistics and internet stuff. And then people are like, well, you know what would help is if you were really funny and people wanted to go see you. And I was, oh shit,
I
yeah.
didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always
There's
thought
gotta be a
about
workaround, right? Like, there's gotta be a.
I
Learn to juggle on a unicycle and beg for standing ovations. Yeah,
that sounds hard to do, though.
Funny. Well, up here, I'm doing this occasional, maybe monthly, I don't know, Maltby Pizza and Pasta. Drew Barth is going to headline, and I'm going to run it. And August 21st, we are selling pretty well, but we'd like to sell that out. So that's what I got coming up and a bunch of other stuff.
Maltby Cafe. Is the Maltby Cafe still there with the giant cinnamon rolls?
Oh, right next door. It's amazing. Cinnamon rolls, the best in the world. Last time we had Mary Lou Gamba, and she goes, I'm on stage. She was like, I'm having a tough time starting my set because I'm still thinking about that sign next door that said best cinnamon rolls in the world.
It is. And they're, I don't know if they're the best, but they're definitely the biggest.
They might say biggest. Yeah, it's interesting. That's what my sign says.
They're not very good, but they are huge.
My dating in the last. All right, hey, let's get started with the jokes, but first a 3-second pause because I don't know how to edit things.
Hello, welcome to Homeschool episode 54 with Corey Michaelis and Andrew Rivers. Actually, before we get into the jokes, I have something embarrassing. I kind of want to admit I had a great weekend working with Erica Rhodes, but I feel like I let her take advantage of me.
Oh, jeez. And, Andrew, this isn't your fault. Remember, you're a victim. This is a safe place to talk about any of this stuff because nobody listens to our podcast. What happened?
Well, after the shows, I drove her to the hotel, and I didn't really want to, but I felt like something was weird, but I just did it anyway.
Well, if you didn't trust her, why'd you get into the car?
That's just how comedy works. It's like the mafia, you know, you have a driver, you're doing lots of killing.
Some of us, yeah. It's late at night in Tacoma. You don't want to make her walk. Then she's going to tell her managers you're being difficult. I get it.
Yeah, she's in a position of power, you know. So we get to the hotel and she says I should come upstairs because she wants to show me her boobs.
Wow, it's crazy. I get it. You really can't say no. She has the potential to help your career. She could get you booked at a Chuckle Hut. So
yeah, I mean, exactly. They give you half off chicken wings there. This is a big deal. And so I go upstairs, and she shows me a bunch of art installations of boobs. There's like glass boobs and paintings of boobs. It turns out she's really into art.
Oh, wow. Really predatory behavior. She forced you to look at art?
I know. She didn't even try to have sex with me. I was hurt, and I was ashamed.
Well, just remember, it has nothing to do with you. Someone hurt her a long time ago, and now she's just taking it out on you. So.
Thank you. This was really helpful for me, actually.
Oh, good. Well, we should. You also went to the Museum of Ass, I saw. So.
Oh, yeah.
Really
the,
was.
We went to the Glass Museum. I should have seen that one coming, but she likes art.
I had a similar experience this week. A guy offered me $450 for a dick pic on OnlyFans, so.
And did you do that?
Well, I think it's only fair that I should get $100 per inch, so I had to reduce the price. But $300 ain't bad.
Okay, not bad.
We got a head shake. We got a head shake already.
Oh, hey, all right, let's get to the jokes then.
All right. But it's true.
Did get offered $450?
Yeah, he started at $150, and I just didn't reply. And then he went to $250, and I didn't open it or reply. And then he went to $450 on Saturday, and I was like, "All right, now we're talking." So I don't know.
Of the pregnant pause. That's what they used to call that in journalism school.
I tried that with comedy bookers, and it did not work.
Yeah, no, comedy bookers are immune to the pregnant pause.
Well, $100 an inch isn't bad, though. That's pretty good.
I don't understand soliciting a dick pic from. Do they have a problem finding pictures of dicks?
Well,
like, did it have to be attached to your face? Did you have to?
So he
body?
Asked for face involved. I assume it's a he too. It's just like. At TLD250036 with no profile picture. So this could very well be someone trying
classic
to.
Classic boy name.
I don't know.
TLD. We were going to name our daughter, she had been a boy, we're going to name her TLD250.
Yeah. It's like Elon Musk. Yeah. Well, we're trying to get to the jokes, I guess, now. But that was a joke, by the way. I'm more than 3 inches for the record, just in case anyone listens. I haven't had any complaints, which is what every guy with a small penis says.
I get a lot of complaints. I should really remove that suggestion box next to the bed. But
best.
Things are heating up online and in person. Seattle is under a heat dome, 50 consecutive days of no rain.
Oof, I think the only place drier than Seattle right now is your crotch, huh?
Hey, my dry spell is only at 30 days right now, but I'm trying to get back out there. It's just, it's tough, you know? It's like those 3 months when I couldn't do comedy, except I was kind of good at comedy before the lockdown.
Ah, I see. The analogy doesn't quite
That's
work.
A little bit off.
I was reading an article to confirm my biases. It says single people have FODA. It's like FOMO, but fear of dating again. Is that what you feel like you have, or?
Well, I think a little bit. I have one of the FODA variants. It's called fear of dying alone.
Oh, jeez. Sad podcast. Well, I wouldn't worry about that.
Wait. I have a joke about heat. This is going to fit good. Because Portland is also very hot, you know, heat dome. Yeah. It's going to be 100. You know, it was 115 degrees in Portland.
Oh, jeez.
It was so hot. You know how hot it was?
How hot was it?
It was so hot, there were protesters outside in the streets putting statues back up for the shade.
Yeah.
Pretty hot. I like that joke.
It's very hot. I feel like...
I just wanted to get one in.
No, it's not good.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
We do have a guest here. You can't hear from the laughter, but...
He's still there.
Still there. No, I'm very selfish with him. Save it for
listen,
me.
You're not going right. You're not gonna die alone, Andrew. I mean, with COVID and climate change and aliens, we're all gonna die at the same time.
So. Oh, that's exciting. Thank you. So you really know how to put me at ease, Corey. But
no problem.
This new COVID is scary, you know? I hear you can get it twice even if you're fully vaccinated, at least according to this girl I've been asking you out for a few months.
Yeah. Isn't she at 5? wasn't she supposed to come to the Kirkland show we just did?
Yeah, but she got polio. So.
Oh, man.
It's crazy.
Been tough for her.
She's had a rough month.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you should date a girl that's vaccinated, but hey, relationships are about compromise. You take care of the kids while she's at the hospital.
Yeah. On the plus side, if she's not worried about COVID, maybe she's willing to overlook all of my mental illnesses also.
Yeah, you need to go to couples counseling, but she doesn't believe in any therapeutics.
Hey, people don't understand. It's not perfect. I still get the depression. It's just less likely to kill me.
Right. Well, I got vaccinated. You know, what's the big deal? What's it going to do? Make me more autistic?
Like... Hey, well, I hope it does. It'll make it so much easier to count the number of Instagram followers you keep losing.
Look, this is not my fault. All I did was take a photo of a very overweight man in a Seahawks jersey. And then you captioned it, Steve Extra Largent. And then I reposted your very rude joke, and people got mad at me. It's like.
I know how you feel. All I did was repost a picture of a cute girl sitting on my lap, and 7 girls that constantly ignore my messages got mad at me. So, you know.
Well, I posted a video of me on stage at Laughs, and the Chuckle Hut was like, how come you won't be inside of us? Well. You never respond to my emails, so. What happened to the Seahawks training camp girl? Wasn't there someone going to come to that with us?
Yeah, she got Middle Eastern Respiratory System syndrome. system.
Well, don't you get?
You
I thought you got that from writing.
More. I think more. A half hour. You would have nailed it.
I don't think so.
It's funny when you flub Middle East too, because it's like you didn't even pick a hard country in the Middle East to say. You could have picked a country that was like, no, you're like, I'm gonna take it easy on myself and just go Middle East, and you say, yeah.
Well, there's a it's called MERS. It's I've been learning all about all the different diseases
because you've been
because I've gotten them because my girlfriends that I keep asking out keep getting them, but
all the excuses. Well, I thought you got Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome from riding camels.
Well, she might be a lesbian because ever since we had sex, she doesn't want to hang out.
Ah, you turned her. You're the comedian. These girls are making a joke out of you, man.
I know. We need a training camp for dating, you know? Like, hey, before we start hitting each other, can we practice first? Have you been to training camp, Slater? Have you gone to one of those things?
Never been. I've never been. We talked about... They used to do it in Cheney, Washington.
Oh, yeah.
And we always talked about going, and I never did it. And then it became hard to go once they it was like hard to get tickets back.
Oh, at the VMAC, yeah.
Yeah. But it's probably easy now, right? Or I don't know. Did you guys go? Was it easy to go?
Yes. You just get tickets on their website or whatever. It's not that super exciting. You just kind of sit there and watch them. I mean, it's exciting for me to watch a bunch of hot guys get all sweaty, but
of course.
Yeah, there was no like autographs. You couldn't, this because of COVID, they had to stay like 6 feet from the fence or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But
Bobby Wagner kept trying to give footballs to little kids or his gloves to little kids. And there's this guy came running over and go, Bobby, remember the rule? And he's like, all right, Jesus Christ, leave me alone.
That's funny that he just keeps forgetting.
Like, he like, oops, aware. Oh, yeah.
Come on, Bobby.
Yeah, it was exciting, though. I had to fight a kid for an autographed ball from a fifth-string running back who's going to be cut next week, but it was worth it.
Well, it was close, but once you knocked her out of her wheelchair, she didn't have a chance.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, my God. So tasteless. I stole that joke from a thing that Corey cut from his act, but I'm the bad one.
Oh, yeah. What else is going on? I wonder why I cut it.
Yeah. We had that amazing show Friday night. We sold out a 400-seat theater at half capacity. Do you ever worry that, like, because we're opening for Brad Upton and we use these dry bar videos, like, people expect a family-friendly show?
I mean, it is a family-friendly show if your family's fucking cool.
Yeah, I always wonder about that. What kind of family doesn't swear at each other? These people had very different childhoods than I did.
Yeah.
Did your family swear at each other, Slater?
Oh, no, not really. But, you know, what's funny is I had a show in Missoula, and I used a dry bar video to try and get people to come, and people did. And I watched this couple watch the openers and get up and leave. And then they posted, this is on the Facebook event thing. They were like, this is a bait and switch. He's not there. It's not Andrew. It didn't even look like him, they said. And I commented like, hey, come back. I'm gonna go up. It's pretty common at comedy shows. You know, they have a couple people.
Didn't they open
first.
The show by being like, Andrew Slater's here?
Yeah, I think so, but I don't know.
Whatever,
They didn't believe they thought they were trying to pass off a phony Andrew Slater. Like, well, and of course the content, they obviously had never been out in the real world before, and so it was like, oh my God, you know.
Right.
But that's just made me laugh.
I had a I used to have a giveaway, just giveaway. I still do have to all the time, but giveaway tickets on Craigslist, and people would be like, "Is this a scam?" And I always was like, "Well, what would the scam be?" Like, you get there, and I'm like, $20, and they're like, "Ah, I thought this was free." Well, you got me, and then I don't understand. Now I'm face to face with you. Trying to get $20 from you? That's not going to... How am I scamming you? But
you should have been like, yeah, they're free tickets, but you got to come pick them up from me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what people always do. Like, you know, they ask for something
free
for
TV,
free, and then they put all these stipulations on. It's like, okay, but I'll take it, but you have to bring the couch to me, and you have to get it warrantied.
You have to be
6'3". Like, I'm going to put it on the street. You either come and get it or you don't. I don't, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You got to come to my house, make the jokes in my living room. Okay.
I'm not going somewhere.
Man. Well, I mean, your nickname was Little Shit from your mom, Andrew. So I don't. Plus, even though it's half full, it's like nice. We're able to do a show and still support these venues. I mean, I'll do basically anything to help keep them open.
What about wear a mask on stage?
Oh, fuck that. No, I won't do that.
That almost does mean a lot that people come out, you know, even with the mask requirements. They have to get a sitter and find parking and pour booze into the flask. It's a lot of work, and they chose us. But moving on to a terrible joke, Apple announced it's going to scan users' iPhones for sexual images of children.
Okay.
But considering how many of my videos get deleted on TikTok for minor nudity, I better delete all my dick pics. It just looks like a baby's penis.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I better delete all
so
those.
So many small cock jokes. I don't know.
We're not projecting. We're being... Okay. All right.
You have such giant dicks that it's easy
so
for
so confident
you.
That it just doesn't matter. Yeah.
Well, I better delete all those screenshots of the Nirvana album cover, right?
What?
Never mind.
Ooh, get it? All right. Hey, speaking of things we'd hate to see naked, our guest this week is Andrew Slater. Make
oh,
some
hey,
noise.
I'm working out now.
Oh, okay. Change our minds then. You got a nice full head of hair and a beautiful mustache, and you're working out. I mean, come on, what are we doing over here?
He's got a daughter. He's got to stay alive for, you know. He's got something to live for.
I have just started taking class. Do you guys do workout classes ever? Or do you just work out on your own?
I downloaded an app that was like a personal trainer app, and it would increase the weight steadily. And then I hurt myself, so I haven't been to the gym in 2 months.
My answer is neither one of the things you said.
Oh, well, you guys are in good. You look like you're in good shape anyway. But
eh.
I'm the kind of lazy where unless I have paid for, I'm not gonna go do it. So I had to buy like the 10 classes ahead of time, and then the first one I didn't like the play. So luckily that was the first one was free. So this one I like now, but like. That first class I got, so it was like CrossFit, you know, but like they don't call it CrossFit because I was like, the one thing I knew is like, I don't want to do CrossFit because that looks insane. And then you show up and it's like called the Refinery and they're like, we believe in an all around type of work. I was like, that sounds great, you know, whatever. And then it's like giant tires and shit and you're flipping and you're like, oh, this is CrossFit. I've seen this. This is CrossFit, you know?
And I love
bait and switch. Yeah. Andrew Slater wasn't even here.
This isn't the real Andrew Slater. So I got so tired, like they could tell, you know, they're like, do you want to go outside, get some air or something?
Like, do you want us to call an ambulance?
Yeah. But like, do you know when you see like a homeless person and their situation is so tough in life that they're like literally walking into the street begging cars to hit them? Like they'll walk in on the highway. That's how I felt when I was done. I just walked out into the street. I was like, yeah, hit me. I don't care. I'm going straight to my car. The straightest line possible, but I'm working on it. You know, I got
that's
too
good.
Fat during quarantine.
I think it's funny that even the CrossFit people know that CrossFit is so annoying that they can't even call it CrossFit anymore.
Right? Yeah. Like they
we're
have
losing
rebrand.
Numbers.
It's like when KFC isn't Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore or something.
Right.
They're
right,
like,
right.
Nah, we're KFC.
Like Corey has to use Brad Upton's videos to advertise.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey.
I'll be on the show, but it's mostly this guy, I swear.
I just reduced.
I'm going to actually try that. Like, just like use like, you know, Nate Bargatze or something, and then you'll sell a ton of tickets, and people like kind of vaguely, is this Nate Bargatze? It doesn't sound like him. I don't know. And then like if half of them stay, you know, and like – oh, we thought you were Nate Bargatze. I don't know. Got confused, you know.
Right.
That's a pretty good scam.
Welcome your headliner. And then just don't say the name.
Yeah.
Just introduce yourself as Nate Bargatze, you know.
Yeah.
He usually plays a big theater in town. Last time we saw him, things must not be going well.
And every joke was so, and then you'll be fine, I think.
Yeah.
He's very funny, but. It's great. Well, Portland, I'll be doing lots of laughs. A lot of
I saw
laughs.
That. Yeah, the outdoor you're doing it. Show. BYOC, bring your own chair.
Bring your own crack.
What's funny is like because everyone brings their like camping chairs for these types of shows, you know, and they like those chairs are so low to the ground. I don't know why camping chairs are so. Low to the ground, you know, they're very difficult to get in and out of. And I went to this band show in a backyard with my wife, and we don't have any friends really because because of COVID and a baby and moving to Portland, there was like no real time to like meet new people.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, we're gonna make some, this is gonna be cool, we're gonna be cool, you know, and wear cool clothes, we got a babysitter, you know. But we sit in these like camping chairs we're not used to, and they're like barely getting, I was like, takes me forever to get into it, and then it's on a hill. And then this lady from the band comes over and taps me on the shoulder. And I was like, oh, shit, we're going to have friends. And I'm too eager, and I turn too quick, and I fall over in the chair, and like down the hill, you know, and everybody's around looking because it's a break in the show. And I put my hand in this bag of chips to like it goes crunch, you know, and this older woman from way back, she just goes, there goes the chips.
It's like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Totally. And I was like, that's what
I
want to
be friends. I don't, yeah. not anymore.
So we made no, Yeah, we didn't do very good there, but I forgot why I said that. Oh, because you're doing the outdoor show. Yes, yeah. I've heard they're. I haven't been to one at Helium, but the I've heard from my friends that they're really fun usually. So.
Yeah, they look fun. There's an outdoor one Friday night in the park. That's amazing. I don't know if you've done it for those guys.
I'm going
yet.
To do that soon, either next week or the week after. And
that
then
one's really good.
Yeah, I was going to do the Helium one last year during the height of COVID, and it would have been my first show in forever. Yeah. And then it got canceled for wildfire smoke.
Yes. Yeah.
Mine did too.
And then you got your last weekend canceled. And you said, come out, there'll be a locust next time or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was so cursed at that. I was so down on comedy and the world. And
why did they cancel the live show again? What happened there?
I think it was...
protests or...
I don't know. That's a good question. What did that get canceled?
I forget what happened.
Oh, I know. Low ticket sales. No, no.
Low ticket sales.
They made the mistake of advertising it as Andrew Slater.
Instead of Nate Bargatze.
They should have used my Nate Bargatze thing.
That's funny. They're doing okay right now, which is good. That's nice. It was so funny.
Well, they should be. Jeez, they're the only game in town.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a city of like one of the biggest markets in the country. They have one comedy club.
Yeah.
They should be sold out every show.
Like Wednesday and Thursday, they just do like 10 comics. It's like they don't even do open mic anymore. They're just like, they're like Giggles All Star again.
Yeah,
it's just like the same people.
Google days. The All Stars,
but it's packed, man. It's like it's
I always
really
when
good.
Terry would do those All Stars, I'd be like, "Who voted for these? How did All Stars
stop
from
the
what?
Count?
This is the whole league. This is not, we did not pick anybody out of this league. This is everyone who showed up is an All Star.
That's hilarious.
I remember that the first time I did Parlor, Drew Barth was hosting and asked for an intro, and I was like, "I'm a Giggles All Star," and he was like.
You sure you want me to say that?
Right. But yeah, I had a good weekend. I did a theater show, a pizza restaurant, and a Zoom show all in the same weekend, so that fills my comedy bingo card up.
In a couple weekends. Nowhere is like trying to still. I guess they're still doing. Did you ever do one of those Nowhere shows, Andrew?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I did one with Andy Hendrickson. I think we split one, and then I did maybe one or two more. I can't remember, but I kind of feel like I like it when everything's shut down or just everything's open. It's the medium, like people aren't quite, we'll do it, but half capacity. That this shit is torture because the Zoom stuff got figured out to the point where I was like, I was fine. I was like, okay, it sucks, but like. And some of them were paying good now. And so it's like we kind of figured it out. And it's like, okay, we can do. But then this in-between thing, like corporate gigs don't know if we want to do it live. We don't want to do, you know. So this is the part that's like tough. But hopefully the vaccines keep coming out and we get
that's
it figured
right.
out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they have like a regular rotation of hosts. And so sometimes they just go, who's open at 4 p.m. today? And like sometimes like nobody responds. They're like, please, you can leave right after your set. You don't have to stick around or whatever.
Please.
But, yeah.
Well, they asked me to do another one, and I was kind of like, why? Who's gonna buy the tickets?
Yeah. Well, you're doing an ad for it though. I'm curious to see if that works because if that's a decent way to make any Skrilla.
So far, not so good, but okay. I'll let you know. Yeah. I think we've sold 7, and it's next Friday, so maybe 8. Is it next Friday? Yeah, it's next Friday. We might have to cancel it, but that's fine. Whatever. I picked a date where I already had a Saturday, so it doesn't. It's just whatever. But I'm bummed at Helium. Nick is gone.
I heard that. Yeah. It is too bad because like I didn't. He's always cool to me, such a nice guy. And then it was nice just having someone you could email last second for spots or whatever. And
yeah,
very good about that. And then, you know, I haven't been hanging around the club, obviously, the last year and a half. So it's just, but it's like, I don't know. There'll be
somebody good.
There'll be somebody great that probably replaces him. So And yeah, I don't know if he's going to, what he's going to do. Is he staying in town or is he, do you know?
I don't know. I'm sure it doesn't matter if I say, because I also don't know 100% for sure. But I think he's in the comedy business still. I think he's going to work with somebody in the comedy business. I don't know exactly though. When you have, I mean, for me, I have like 5 people who book comedy shows on text. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Maybe 4.
Yeah.
And he was one of them. And I was like, all right, good club, great guy, responds every time. And once you, and then it goes, and then like Harvey's was like, like I have like 12 clubs I headline, and Harvey's was one of them, and that's gone. And then the Underground was one of them, and that's gone. And it's like,
yeah, but you guys figured it out. Like, you guys and a few other people, it's like, you're onto it. The future is like, you don't need these clubs, you know?
That's true. That's fair. Yeah.
It's so obvious. It was obvious before the pandemic. Like, if you're depending on clubs to survive,
right,
it's just you're living in another, it's like
yeah.
selling VHSs after shows
yeah.
or something. It's like, you know,
well,
I'm
behind
slow
on
with all this.
Booking, they're behind on, you know, their advertising, and then they just don't want to book anyone that doesn't sell out their room, which makes sense. But then,
right.
especially this next, you know, before like the big theaters really kind of get back, it's like Chelsea Handler's doing clubs and Louis C.K. is doing clubs, and it's like, you know, there's no room for us really. So
no,
because it used to feel like when I started, it felt like a system of like a ladder where it's like, oh, if I climb up, eventually they'll treat me right and pay me decent. And then that, I mean, maybe that was misguided to begin
yeah.
with. But
no, it was probably wrong back then. But I mean, at least you believed it. And like, I I'm so old. When I started, I'm like comedy old, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like when I started, it was still the thing where it's like you get your 5 minutes, you pound it, you make sure it's clean, you tell a little story about yourself, then you get you move to LA, you get your sitcom.
Yeah.
That was the formula. Then no one
well,
had
you
any
did
other
get,
idea.
You know, you're set on Conan.
Yeah, no, I mean, not, yeah. I'm not saying that, like, I still believe in, like, doing, like, late night, and I mean,
sure.
I think that's really cool and can help you, but I'm just saying, like, the old formula was, like, get the sitcom, get
right.
famous. That's how you sell tickets, you know? And now you look back, it's like you would be better off selling tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a sitcom on NBC that's like marginally watched, right? For 5 years.
Yeah.
I think you'd be better off selling tickets if you did Rogan once.
Right.
Right? I think that would increase, that would make you a better draw than having a sitcom on the air for like 5 years. I really believe that, which is
yeah.
crazy to
I don't
say,
think
but
you're
it's
wrong.
Like,
yeah.
that's how much it's changed. And like, so if you don't like, I'm not saying everyone's goal should be to do Rogan, but do something
right.
like that. Start a right. podcast or.
Yeah, like Tim Dillon kind of like came out of nowhere even. And
Andrew Schultz, Tim Dillon, yeah.
Yeah, they just.
No, a lot of people, and like it's caught, I think it's caught the networks off guard and flat footed. And clubs, though, it's so funny. Like you said, they just want to sell out, right? Of course, who wouldn't? They want to make money like everybody else, and they have a business and mortgages and all that stuff. So I get it. But like, they've become dependent on YouTube stars and celebrity type comedians the same way
right.
we used to be dependent on clubs.
Right.
So now they're stuck. If all of a sudden their whole business model is like, we need to get, you know, Chelsea Handler, or I don't know who's
sure.
like,
right.
Taylor Tomlinson. We got to right. get Taylor Tomlinson at least once a year. To make
yeah,
her
but
not,
now
right?
she's like she's
what
like
happens what happens
like
when she's
shows.
Like what happens when she's like I'm not doing clubs anymore
exactly.
and all the agencies are like, you know what, actually there's a theater down the street that actually is better and they can just come in and do one show and they're out of here. And then they're now the club is like, well, we don't have a built-in roster of loyal audiences. We don't have
no.
like, you know, there's a few clubs like that, but like
yeah
that they should be thinking like comics think now.
You gotta be careful.
Should,
yeah,
build our own following. We want like XYZ comedy club fans who just show
yes.
up because they know it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I think Adam's clubs do a great job of that. The Bark clubs, you know?
Yeah. No, I know. And the ones that are, and then they can pick and choose any headliner because there's
right.
not as much pressure on the act. I mean, I've never been like an act like, obviously, like Taylor Tomlinson or somebody, but she probably feels it if like she goes somewhere and they're doing no promotion versus if they really push her, it's like, okay, great. I don't have to do like 15 Instagram videos this week. I just have to do one or something,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, be on our podcast. We'll get you some folks to ask for refunds at your album recording based on. But that's an independent venue.
Yeah.
That has done comedy in the past or hasn't?
They have. They've done comedy, but it's mostly a music venue. But what's great about it for recording is it's set up to record really well. Like they have great equipment. And so it'll be easy to accomplish that. And then it's small too, which is good for me.
I can sell it out.
I can sell it. We can do two shows even, which is great, which is obviously necessary. So yeah, it's a cool place. I did a show there with Liz Mealy. I don't know if you know Liz Mealy, mm-hmm. but she's also very good about building her email list. She can go pick venues, you know, and then blast it, and she usually does pretty good. And I did a show there and met the guy, and he was cool. So I was like, great, I need a place.
Right,
I don't want to think about
how much does it seat?
Like, I think like 70 or something.
Oh,
it's
great.
Pretty small, but yeah.
Yeah, we're looking for, you know, venues in different places because I think if we got, I just kind of copied like what the Seattle competition does where I'm like all their venues and I'm like, these are pretty good. I mean, if they can sign up to watch 15 mediocre guys compete or whatever, then I'm sure you can sell tickets as a headliner. So
totally.
We've had pretty good success so far. So
I think that's it. You know, you got it. You just have to.
And then you just fill in the gaps with some club. You know, Ventura Harbor Club is like, it's not going to pay great, but my brother lives in L.A. I'll visit him. I'll break even on travel and it'll be fine, you know.
Well, I like to have that because I'm still scared, you know. Deep down, so to like just say, okay, I'm gonna go to like North Carolina, do four shows, and then come back
right.
and book them all myself, and book
right.
That scares the shit out of me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right? Like, cause like if none of them sell, and right. it's very embarrassing or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's
so
easier
I did a run
that.
Like that, like late 2019, 2020.
Yeah.
So I did like Mobile, Alabama, Biloxi, Mississippi, and then Pensacola, Florida.
And they were all produced by you? Like
yeah. And
yeah. See, that's impressive to me because I like to have the anchor. Like I
right.
to me.
Exactly. This I think that's the move is like you get some of these clubs like I just did Comedy Bar in Nashville.
Right.
And it just is a $500. They're like, just do 25 at the end.
Okay, so
whatever.
That's like the Chicago Comedy Bar
right.
model.
Yeah, same thing. So I kept looking. I didn't end up finding venues, but that's the plan sort of going forward is if I can get that Friday, Saturday, then I try to add a Thursday and Sunday to it, you know?
Or yeah, if you grab a college or something,
right.
then you can tack on a one.
So I did that a couple times, and then, but just this one, I was like looking for cities that just didn't have comedy clubs. And I called it like the Eagles cover band tour because I was like, nobody famous is coming to Mobile, Alabama, so...
Yeah,
so and I sold really well.
And then
but then I tried to keep it going where I did like Dallas and San Antonio and Houston, and I sold like 40 tickets each night, and I lost a bunch of money, and I was like, well, okay, this is a little trickier than I thought, you know?
Yeah.
So,
no, I mean it's like, I don't know. You got to look at it as a business, though. It's like you got to think like a real business would take losses just to add. Emails.
Right. I think like
and then
you can get those 40 emails and then, you know, Corey and I are going to try and maybe follow the Seahawks around a little bit this year and see if we can like set up a show and then go to a game on a Sunday night or something. So,
you know, what's the trick with that? I've done that, but not for a whole season, but like
Craig
in Arizona, we used to go to the Arizona game and we used to go to like Green Bay. And
yeah.
But what you do is you hook up with the local. There'll always be like a Seahawks.
Yeah, local 12s or whatever.
Yeah, and they'll have a Facebook group, and they'll go to a place to watch the game.
Arizona's
the same bar
huge
every week.
For that, I think.
Yeah, they have like crazy amounts of Seahawks fans there because there's so many Seattle transplants.
Yeah,
but like even in anywhere, any city will have it, and it's a good network to like tap into. Go, hey, we're like. You know, if you connect yourselves in.
Sure. I have that video with John Ryan even, so I can kind
of. I used to pitch it to clubs that way, and I'd go, hey, we're like part of this. It's like all bullshit. And they're like, oh, okay, cool, you know? And then we'd have a few people show up in jerseys, like, oh, thank God they bought it. But
That's great.
You're handing out jerseys at the door, like, hey, wave
Jim
this.
Jim Zorn. Yeah, Jim Zorn came one time to a
I love
show.
It. Yeah, I got his autograph when I was like 12. He's great at the awesome. Someplace in Everett. Jack Sigma's. It was quite a day.
Oh, nice. That's a good
pretty
one.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you link up with like 800-pound gorilla or anybody for your album, or what's your plan there?
I did. Well, so the last album I did it independently because I was very like ambitious about keeping all of my revenues.
Right.
But then after running into some roadblocks with like Sirius, I ended up just signing a deal with 800-pound gorilla. And
yeah.
So this time I'm not doing it with 800-pound gorilla, but then you never know what'll happen.
Sure. Gotcha.
In the future. But no, to start out, I'm going to using a couple other guys and, we'll see how it goes, but
are you going to get video of it as well?
Yeah, there's a guy, local guy here, and it's not going to be like a 3-camera shoot because like it gets too crowded with everybody, but like he's just got a good camera and he does a lot of shows in Portland. And, if you ever need a guy to film shows, he's great. And, I'm going to have him do it. And then maybe I'll set up like my iPhone or something and have something to cut away from if we want to, but I don't know. I'm not as worried about that. I mean, I want the recording to be good because like that's the lifeline money-wise, at least it was for the pandemic. Like I'd love to get to a point where I could just like almost live off of
The royalties or whatever.
Royalties and then just put all the road money back into the promotional career stuff and like I say, like think of it more. I'm such a like it's taken me so long to figure stuff out and I'm like way behind you guys, you know, but like I want to get to the point where I think of it more like a business and like, okay, I got to invest in
a live the show is the lost leader to get them interested
right.
in your
yeah,
album or whatever.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew doesn't have like, nothing like he will.
Yeah, I just
soon,
got my dry bar royalties, which are dwindling. And
Pandora or Spotify or Sirius stuff, but he will with this upcoming.
Yeah,
so,
get it on Sirius.
Huge.
That's the only advice I have for anybody is do
well,
what
yeah,
you have to do.
That's I mean that's why I went with 800-pound this time. I was just like, what you know, you guys
they have
take
the best
care of everything.
Relationship.
Yeah,
there
they were a little bit like, are there any like clean tracks? I'm like, just not really, not.
You know what's so funny is I did my last album like really clean. Like I even read the guidelines for what has to play on Laughs USA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I did it with that in mind. And then my album never plays on, they like completely passed, but then they play it on the Raw Dog and so all these clean jokes gets played on Raw Dog.
Hilarious.
What's the deal with butterflies and flowers?
Yeah, he doesn't swear on Raw Dog. And then, and the country guys, like the Larry the Cable Guy channel plays it too. So, but yeah,
you're
during
able
the
to
pandemic,
see...
I mean, that was. Yeah. That saved my life, you know.
Are you able to? You're able to see like specific. Do you it's just a sound exchange, right? But do you see
yeah,
some
but you
other?
Can, you can track it on site. There's a I forget what it's called, but there's a site that will like actually tell you like the date and time it played, which track.
Oh wow!
And you can look up like if your numbers are dwindling. There's it's so stupid because there's nothing you can do about it. You can't like try harder, like you know, but it's like you can look and see about what you'll make in the next few months or whatever, so it's kind of at least you can plan budget yourself.
That's what I feel like the dry bar thing, and I'm like I don't get to do anything with this information, but and I don't know what any of it means, and they have their own numbers, but
the dry bar one's even more mysterious because you don't even know how it calculates. They don't
I get messages
tell you,
like every couple days like I just found you on my TV, and I'm like, do I get paid for that? Or like probably not. No,
they have that brand bonus
Samsung thing.
This is like so back of the napkin sort of. So I remember that though, like because you guys were talking about Brad, who's obviously like the dry bar god.
Yeah,
and I remember he showed his one time and they had the brand bonus. I was like, how is Brad's brand bonus not like $1 million?
Yeah.
Like
he
created the brand. I mean, he's like the, he's the guy, you know?
Yeah.
But,
I had a conversation with Zoltan once where, can I tell a story without revealing the numbers? But basically, well, sometimes you say, 12 when you mean 1200, and sometimes you say it when you mean 12,000. So anyway, he said a number, and I was like, oh, that's about mine. And then I realized he meant he meant the higher version of those two options. So I was like, oh, yeah.
You got to say something controversial, like cats are better than dogs, you know, yeah, just exactly. Get people riled up.
I'm going to start saying 12 to mean 120. Oh, yeah, I got 12 last week at that club, plus drinks.
That's great. That's well. That sounds like really fun. And the date's the 16th. You said October.
Yeah, 16th? The 16th. October 16th, Saturday night. Two shows, 7 and 9, Alberta Street Pub, Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Come on out.
I'll try and do something to help get people there. Why not?
Yeah.
Because I'll be there. I'll be there with Brad like 2 weeks before that. Not there, but at Helium. That's what I did. I just latched onto Brad, and I was like. I'll teach you how to do all the selling of the tickets, and you can bring me. And he's like, oh, you can go anywhere you want. Sure.
That was kind of our plan locally is we're like, hey, Brad, we'll teach you how to do the theaters if you just let us. We'll use your videos if you just let us, you know, because our theory was that, like, hey, if our videos are selling at this rate and his are way more popular, that surely they're more effective or whatever, but. It's interesting to watch how Corey was getting a better response on his ad than Brad's, which was interesting. But
his are doing really well. He gets like 90 cents
a click or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, nice. It's a whole thing. But yeah, well, you have plenty of really good dry bar videos that would work too. So we should show you what we do.
Yeah. No, I know. I've dabbled in it and anxious to. Do it more as things, you know, open up and start booking more of my own stuff. But Brad got me my first ever paid gig.
Really?
In Bellingham at the old Fairhaven Martini Bar. I don't know if you guys ever did that gig, but hosted it. He got me hosting that. And so I always think fondly on old Brad.
Well, that's funny. Yeah, because you went to a Western, right? I forgot.
Yeah, but it wasn't even, it had nothing to do with it. And I didn't have anybody come because at that time, I had not told anyone I did comedy because I was scared. I didn't tell anybody for like a year and a half. Like it took a long time for me.
Did you start at Giggles though? Didn't you have to like bring friends to get up?
No, my first set was at Western and then I did, I started at Giggles. But when I started, you didn't have to bring people. I never brought anybody. Like I literally actively was not telling people. That I was doing shows.
Yeah.
I was the worst promoter
in the world. I burned so many friendships by... dragging him to Giggles open mics and
when I started they needed comics, believe it or not. They were like they'd have it'd be like Tracy Tufts and like four other comics maybe, and then like a couple of psychos, you know, off the street. And then so they were just love it. Sometimes in the summer you'd show up, there'd be like three comics. And like Tracy would be like, hey, and Tracy was working the bar and Terry was out of town. And he's like, hey, can you do like 25 minutes? I'm like, absolutely not. But whatever, I'll go as long as I can. And
so I went I took the comedy, the Stu Stewart comedy class years ago, 12, 13 years ago. And then then went to Laughs. Giggles for the open mic. But I wasn't. Me and my buddy were like, maybe we'll get up, maybe we'll try, maybe we won't. And when you get there and you're like, nah, if you're not already pot committed, you're not going to.
Right.
And then it was also. That would go around, not you.
Well, it was also a Sunday night at the time, I feel like. And it was the weekend like before Christmas or after Christmas. So it was kind of a like people are home. So I remember Rick Kunkler and Robo comic or RoboCop or
Matt
whatever.
It's that guy.
You may have gone up for all I, you know, know me, you know, whatever. So we just watched and had a good time, and we were like, you know what? We took this class. That was fun. We did comedy once. Let's call it. And a lot of people wish that's how it would have stayed, but here we are. And then
you're
did. Yeah,
you're like, we'll never be as good as Robo. Why even try?
What's my favorite ride at Wild Waves? All that 16-year-old pussy.
Robo would be canceled. But you know what's great? you can't cancel like a a fake robot.
Yeah.
Just bring him back as something else, you know? He's uncancelable.
That's great. Well, then I did go to a mic there, brought my camera, was all ready to go, got on the list, and invited a bunch of people. And Cummings was like, I didn't know him, but he was like introducing himself and being standoffish and whatever, and it was all fine. But then he like looked in the room and he's like, there's like 30 people here. And so he started texting comics like, hey, I could hear him on the phone being like, hey, there's actually people here. You guys might want to come out tonight. And so like a handful of comics came out, and then I'm setting my camera up, and the host, I wish I could remember who it was, but he went up and I must have hit a light on my camera that lit him. And he gets off and he's coming in the back and he's like, who fucking lit me? I was up there like 3.5 minutes. What? And I was so embarrassed and like anxious. I don't know.
He didn't say anything.
I don't even know what the light is. I don't know what you're talking about. So.
Why don't you like lights? You afraid of
it's
lights?
Coming from this direction, but.
Lord.
Yeah, the Giggles open mic was pretty brutal. Terry was a real dick to me a lot, but Slater used to stand up for me, and I always appreciated that. I remember like one time I came back and you were just like, just put him up, Terry. Just like stop being a dick or something. Like he would only listen to you. And
I was like the Terry whisperer. Because he liked me because it was very, you know, I started when I was like, you know, 19, 20 years old at Giggles. So like I was very impressionable. And so I did everything he wanted, you know. He was like, don't
say. Well, I think that anyone got pretty funny starting there, he felt a sense of pride, right?
Yeah, no.
You were like, I did this, you know?
Giggles guys, or, you know, Giggles comics. And then if you played other places, it'd piss him off, you know? It's like,
the parlor.
It made no sense. Yeah. It's like, you don't even have a show on Tuesday night or Wednesday night. And it's like, oh, what were you doing the laugh hole for? Did you go see the F word?
Pagliacci's pizza.
Did you go see the F word?
Yeah, because he hated the F word. You had to be clean.
Yeah.
And then, you know, also, it was a lot of irrational. But, so, like, I feel like I played, you know, I try to, like, play to Terry's better natures, better angels sometimes. And
right.
But it was tough. I felt bad for Newark. It's funny, now I can't imagine, but, like, because there's so many more comics now. I think because of podcasts or just the internet, there's access on how to start. Before, it was very vague of how did you become a stand-up comedian. You're like, no one really knew the story, the original story.
Yeah.
And so, like, there were very few comics. And so now, so I would feel bad for, like, newer, like, they had to fight. They had to bring people to get up. I mean, that seemed shitty. And, like, because I was like, I never did that. I never brought one person. To this club, like we talked about. So
yeah, I remember because we did that competition. I referenced it recently on something, but
a comment. Yeah. Which I never won. I never won the Giggles Laugh Off, by the way.
You were so much more experienced and better than anybody in the competition, but you brought zero people that weekend to vote for you. And Paul Mestemaker brought a bunch, and I brought
Paul.
My parents
brought people, and he had that goddamn computer program.
Yeah.
He did PowerPoint.
So it's like, I can't compete with a
computer. He was like rich outside of comedy. He had like a great job and like seven figure. He like invented an app or something.
I wonder what he's doing. He's probably a billionaire.
I had lunch with him in maybe L.A. somewhere recently, something like a year or two ago, and he was just same guy. He's like, how's it going? I'm like, that's, you know. And he's like, you're getting really good now. And I'm like, thanks, I guess, you know.
Trudging along. What are you doing?
He's like, oh,
the Johnny Carson call over from Paul Mestemaker.
Yeah. It is nice to, you know, it's nice to hear it, but, you know.
No, yeah. No, and he's a very nice guy. And
he's a nice guy.
Cool. And
my moment with him was like in the bar. What was that bar next to Giggles? They tore it down or whatever.
Dante's.
Burned down.
Yeah. Dante's
Inferno.
Dante's Inferno. Yeah. I was sitting with him, and I just made $300 doing like comedy in a week, And that was what my unemployment was. And I was like 6 months into comedy. And I was like, if I just make $300 a week, I don't have to get a job. And he was like, that's impossible. You're never going to do that. And luckily they kept extending the unemployment, but it took like 2 years. But then I realized like, oh, I have to drive to Sunnyvale to get $300. So I'm not keeping $300, but,
yeah,
good times.
You kind of need like, it's funny when you, I don't know, you guys might be more ambitious than I was, but like for me, I needed life events to happen to get the ambition to make more money in comedy.
Well, divorce works really well if you.
Yeah. There you go. I was gonna say marriage. Yeah, because like I didn't care about any of this stuff we've been talking about. I was like, whatever. If I can hang out with comics and make a couple bucks, and who cares?
Marriage,
you know?
Kids.
But then marriage, yeah, you have a baby. Then it's all like, oh, you gotta, because you first you need beer money, then you know, you need wine money now, and then now it's like diaper money. It's like that's real formula. It's expensive, so. It's like that. Those are all the things
money.
That. What's that? Sorry.
Gatorade fierces his money.
Yeah, I forgot about that joke.
Ah, it's so good.
God, that,
yeah, I don't know. To me, it was like I was just getting frustrated that like it was so hard to break into the industry or whatever. And then once I filmed that Dry Bar thing, they were gonna put me on Bring the Funny on NBC. And I was like, oh, okay, well, this is the ladder I can climb. And then they cut me like a day before filming, and then they just didn't call me. Like, I got ghosted by NBC. And then that was the big thing where I was like, well, I got to figure this out because I can't wait for these people to decide that
I
get to
be. Best thing that ever happened to you. I'm literally telling you, like, I don't know how you guys feel, but it's almost a sense of relief to go, oh, none of that shit really even matters. Like,
well, when I ended up watching the show and like the people that got on it, and I was like, what, these not even, first of all, not a good show, bad, like, and then I ended up holding a grudge against Michael Cox because he was the guy who booked me for it. And then I ended up having like, I did like a Tonight Show showcase, and like, we like sat down and had a beer afterwards, and I was like, I asked him to sign my book, you know, and he goes, oh, maybe when we work together. And I was like, well, we could have worked together. And he's like, what? And I was like, all right, I've been holding this in for a year and I hate you. And he was like, oh, yeah, that show. I quit a week in and they wouldn't listen to anything I said and blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I was like blaming him the whole time. And he's like, yeah, they fucking suck.
They suck. And
I quit. I lost a $30,000 bonus. I didn't care. And I was like, well, I would have loved it, you know, but.
Yeah, I mean, I just
no one got famous from the show. No one, the show didn't get to stick around. You know, it does. And the producers the whole time were like, this is on right after AGT. It's going to be huge. You're going to be, we got to delete all your old tweets. And I'm like, oh my God. And then nothing happens, you know. It's just like,
that's when you know you're about to make it. Is when
he lost four tweets and eight favorites because of
yeah, exactly.
That's what Jono said. He was like, I would love to like find a program that could just go through my Twitter and delete everything under a certain amount of favorites.
Oh, under a certain amount of favorites. That's funny.
Like anything under like 16 favorites, I'd like those just to be gone.
They sent me a list of tweets and like some of them I was like, I don't understand. And then some of them I was like, I forget there was like a tweet that was like, I might have been 2 years into comedy. It was like, racial jokes are low-hanging fruit, which is why a lot of Mexican comics do it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to delete that. That's fine. You know, like, it's not racist. I just am embarrassed that that's a joke I thought was funny, you know?
Well. Yeah, but I mean, so to me, if there was like, the pandemic started, there's like panic because it's like, oh, everything's going to change. The industry's going to change and it's going to be so. And then it was like relief where you go, oh, so it's just like whatever you kind of, as hard as you're willing to go with it. And it's on you. There's no festival that'll break you really anymore. There's no like audition set that's going to make it. They're following the same trend that we are. It's just we're like at the forefront of it.
Yeah.
They just find the comic with the podcast that has the followers, and then they just try to attach themselves to that.
Right.
Now, right? Like, so it's almost like kind of like, oh, okay. So then it's just back to basics. You don't got to worry about all the, like.
We did Laughing School together, and that was like the first year. They go, it's not even a competition anymore. We're just having fun. And I'm like, okay. Like, and then you sit in those lectures or whatever, and like all the bookers of, you know, Michael Cox is there, and he's like, so what questions do you have? And you're like, I don't even know how this, I don't know how, what to ask. Like, you gotta
tell
me. I
love those festival, those fucking things, those industry panels.
Yeah
and they're
yeah.
like, does anyone have any questions? Everyone's just like, where do I send my avails? Like, what question? You saw my set. When can I be on the goddamn show? That's what I want to know. It's like the booker for the improv is there, and they're like, yeah, do you guys have any questions? Yeah. What? Like, here's my dates. When am I booked? Like, what are you talking about? Do I have any questions?
Yeah. So Michael Cox
was like, I have
one question
for you.
Yeah.
You're so pretentious.
He was like,
we don't
video,
like,
you know, exactly what you want to do, blah, blah, blah. And I check it. It's my job to respond to emails. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I sent him an email, and then he just didn't respond. And I was like, I should have had a follow-up question for what to do. And then I just kept working on the set. And then
that question has been asked. I've been to a million of those industry panels. I always feel like I have to go, and then I always regret going. And then it's like they'll say this, because you'll go, that is a question that gets asked. It's like, well, what do you do when your email gets ignored?
Because
I don't want to be annoying. But also they're like, oh, never send the just following up email. If you send an email, we saw it. Don't send the just following up. We get a million emails. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You get a million emails a day. That must be so tough for you to have to go and hit delete 50 times. What a job. You know, those coal miners in West Virginia, they don't have anything on you to have to go delete a few emails. And God forbid, I'm here trying to make a career and pay a mortgage off of comedy
that I
send a just following up. Jesus, I'm sorry for ruining your day. I mean, get out of here.
And it's hilarious because the thing you're doing is offering to work for them for probably less than your value is.
Yeah, what is
to make their club or their show good? So it's so funny to be like,
I know. And like,
don't bug us. But like, I'm emailing with a guy right now, and it's a club, and he has a Thursday open, and it's whatever, and it's again, but it's to do a door deal maybe. And he goes, sure, 50-50. And I'm like, I mean, after my Facebook ads, I don't make anything. So I said 50-50 after the Facebook ads. How about that? And he goes, well, how much are those going to cost? And I was like, I'm going to try and sell out your room. Whatever it costs to sell out your room is what I'm going to do. So I did all the math for him. And I'm looking at the email going, he's going to he sent me a one-line email with words misspelled. So he's going to look at my three-paragraph email where I break down how much he could make on one night, maybe, but probably, because I'm going to put enough Facebook ads in to make it happen. And I doubt he'll respond. He's going to be like, this is complicated. I'm just going to stay closed on Thursday night.
You know what? I'll just book Stormy Daniels instead. Right.
So this
is why you're right of, like, you know, places, whereas like music venues or whatever, they want to fill every night. So they are going to go, oh, you want to come do a night here? Great. We'll open up the doors for you. I don't know. Well, maybe I'm wrong about that, but something.
There's truth to this. It's like my friend Maria Shahada told me once, and I forget where she got the advice, but it was like, you know, the thing we're not trained to do, but what you really should be doing is go where you're appreciated. Go where you're wanted. Like, give those people the energy you give to the clubs that don't want you know, because the reality is, like, you're better off working with someone who's eager to have you and happy to have you than just keep banging on the doors that don't care and don't want to, and then they'll do a half-assed, even if you do go work that club now, and then, you know,
he's
not
gonna help fill
he's it, not yeah. gonna help you, you know.
Yeah,
so
why does he get half the ticket sales if he doesn't do it? That's what is always mind-boggling. I'm like, just take a rental fee for the venue.
Yeah, but I mean, it's their club. They can do whatever they want. That's fine. Right. But like, you don't need to. You don't
plan
need
to
them.
It. Yeah.
You know, if you're gonna do all that work, you don't even. You barely need a building anymore. I mean, you can do it outside. You know, it's like crazy.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you're looking to right. Zoning laws and parks and shit. You
right.
Know?
Yeah. Remember when we got married? We were in Palm Springs. My wife and I were like looking at potential venues, and you know, in Palm Springs, everything's like $15,000. You know, that was back then. And Heidi's dad is kind of this funny, cheap guy, and he's like, there's an empty lot. He's like, you guys should just do it there. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, rent it or call the owner. He's like, no, just like show up 20 minutes before, do it really quick and get out of there. I was like, so we're going to squat. We're going to wedding squat.
Oh, man, you could have, that probably would have went viral on something if you would have filmed it and done it.
Yeah, we should have. Yeah, I see.
Well, it's great catching up and chatting with you. Andrew J. Rivers on all the things. The more handsome Andrew is what on all the things?
At Andrew Slater. Well,
he's got to look good.
S-L-E-I-G-H-T-E-R. And I have a podcast, too. I do with a very funny comic named Johnny Beaner called The Cavalry Podcast. And if people like podcasts like this one, you can check that out.
Awesome. And
Doing like 5 jokes a week or something on YouTube.
I try, not a week, but I try to, that was just something kind of a little pandemic project.
Like writing projects kind of, I like
that.
Yeah,
excuse to, somewhere to do the jokes because I was like writing. I can't write if I don't know where I'm going to, you know, if I have no outlet for it, I have no motivation. So it was a way to get motivated to write a little bit. They're fun, you know.
Whole point of this is that, great. Corey Michaelis Comedy on all the things. Thanks for being on. Thanks for listening. We won't see you next week, but you'll hear us next week. Bye.